The Bozeman Plastic Initiative will establish new provisions in the Bozeman Municipal Code to prohibit, after May 1st, 2025, the sale or distribution of polystyrene foam or the use of single-use plastic bags, with exceptions, and plastic straws or stirrers. This initiative will also require the City of Bozeman to provide notice to affected establishments and provide authority for the city to promulgate rules and regulations to implement this initiative. This initiative will also establish enforcement and penalties of $1,000 for the first violation and $2,000 for the second and subsequent violation.
Welcome to Ecotones. I'm Joy LaClaire. You just heard the voice of Terry Quattraro reading the summary text of Montana Plastic Free Bozeman's proposed initiative as it appears on their signature gathering form. If 25% of the registered voters in the city of Bozeman sign their petition and the total number signing is 7,128 or more, the vote to modify Bozeman's municipal code will appear on the November 2024 ballot. If a majority of voters vote for this initiative at that election, it will become law here in Bozeman that the distribution of polystyrene, foam, foodware, and packing materials, and single-use plastic carry-out bags at retail sales establishments will be prohibited. Terry is one of the organizers who are collecting signatures, hoping for at least 8,000 signatures by the July 15th deadline. We wanted to learn more about this, so we invited Terry Quattraro and her colleague June Safford to tell us more about it. We spoke with them on June 17th, 2024, in the Beyond the Deep End studios.
Joining me on this chilly, rainy morning are June Billings Safford and Terry Quattraro. They are members of a group called Montana Plastic Free, who are collecting signatures for a City of Bozeman ballot initiative. And we had some questions about that. So welcome to the Beyond the Deep End studios, June and Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're very appreciative.
Before we get to our questions about Montana Plastic Free, let's begin by honoring the memory of the late, great Montana journalist Brian Kahn, who would always begin his radio interviews on home ground with these two questions. Where did you grow up and what did your folks do? June, why don't you begin?
Okay, I probably came from the furthest away from Montana, and my middle name is Billings, but I'm not related to the Billings. But I knew about Montana while I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. So I spent my childhood there. My parents were immigrants from Sweden, and I was actually a Swedish citizen till I was 22 because my father took time before he became an American citizen.
And how about you, Terry? I grew up in California, the Central Valley of California, specifically in Lodi, California. And yes, I was stuck there for a few years until I moved north in California. So my grandparents came from Ellis Island. They immigrated from Hungary. And then growing up in California, we saw the growth and decided then to move to Montana. And of course, we're experiencing the growth here too. I like to be active. I was an elementary school teacher, so I like to be involved. And I remember talking to my students about cleaning up. And so it started by picking up trash. And I did the same thing when I came here to Bozeman. I belonged to the beautification board, which was in charge of the cleanup day here in Bozeman, and we were picking up trash. And I think that's what led us to the preponderance of the trash being plastic and how we can definitely do something about it. And that's our main goal right now with the initiative. And June, you were also a teacher in Bozeman,
yes,
right?
Right. I taught at the high school for 27 years. I taught creative writing and English, and also very concerned about what I was seeing, the amounts of material like plastics around and so on. And I would visit my daughter in Baltimore, and I can remember spending afternoons just picking up trash in neighborhoods near her. I'm late in life to really come to what the problems are with this material. I think it's not something that we were conscious of early on. So I think that we feel that there probably are a lot of people out there who also are not that aware of what it is we're facing. But I think it's important enough for me to continue to do something about it.
Well, let's get to the organization Montana Plastic Free. How and when did it begin and who started it?
It happened only a few weeks ago that mm-hmm. we came up with Montana Plastic Free. We were actually members of Beyond Plastic, Gallatin Valley Beyond Plastic, which is a national organization, and the headquarters are in Bennington, Vermont. And so when we came to figuring out how we could approach Bozeman, particularly with this plastic bag initiative, this was something Terry came up with.
Again, like June said, we started this years ago in about 2019, and it was through the Hope Lutheran Church that got organized, and they have a creative care team. June is a member of that church, and I was asked to be part of that. It grew from that organization after a couple of years of trying to get known and reaching out to different businesses and having the businesses tell us that we didn't have a name, we didn't have any prominence. So basically, why should they listen to us? And then we got information from the Beyond Plastic, which was a national grassroots organization, and it had just been a couple of years in the running and had already gotten about 15 states involved. And then we looked towards that and thought that would be a way for us to get a little bit more recognition, have people pay attention to us because we had a little more clout, so to speak. Then through that, we've decided with this initiative, thanks to the Cottonwood Law Firm, by a lot of hurdles that we had to get through legally to be able to even have an initiative on the ballot. And that's a long story. But that's when we established our own prominence. It's an LLC called Plastic Free Bozeman. And that's how we are managing the expenses that we have for advertising and obtaining information that we need to get signatures and perhaps ending up being successful, but having that bank account or that organization, Plastic Free Bozeman. Well, before we get to the specifics of the initiative, what have you tried already to deal with the problem of plastic proliferation and the ubiquity in the biosphere? The microplastic thing is in the news all the time now, whether it's being found at the depths of the ocean or in human breast milk or semen. And
we've been fortunate to have Megan Wolf come to Bozeman, and she's given her talks. She's the policy director, health policy director for Beyond Plastic. So she's made us much more aware of what it is we're facing. And you're right, we have it in our blood. We supposedly every week take in about a credit card of plastic in our lives, because there's probably nowhere where it's not found. So that has been something that we felt was important. And we started it at Hope because we thought that we could educate the congregation about things that they're not aware of, that we were becoming aware of. And Thomas Waldorf particularly was very forceful, and he's a member of the same team and very concerned about what we see out in nature, because we're all people who love this area and we take trails, we see animals, but we see also the problems that these animals face when they are ingesting things like plastic out where it doesn't belong.
And Joy, you're right. The information is really out there recently. A lot more information, because as we advance scientifically and study these things, which does take a few years, so that we have some kind of evidence that we can prove that these microplastics and where they originate from, which is mostly single-use plastic or that filmy plastic, and it breaks down into the environment to become microplastics. And it's not just the fact that it's plastic, but plastic's made from different chemicals, and it's the chemicals in that plastic that are doing so much harm to our bodies. And mostly our endocrine systems, but also it's the cause of cancers and other kinds of things that disrupt the hormonal balance in our bodies. And that is becoming more in the forefront in the news because of the studies that the Beyond Plastic National Organization has done. They have done studies that are very scientific and very specific as to the consequences of that proliferation of plastic.
I recall that one of the things that you did before attempting this initiative was to have, I guess it was a manifestation of some sort, at the Bozeman Public Library.
Right.
You had people bring their plastics, and then you separated it into that which can be recycled, and that's a whole different issue. We won't get into that, because one wonders about how recyclable plastic really is. But anyway, the idea was to show folks the huge amount of plastics, and this was just a teeny amount compared to what's actually going into the landfill. And so that's a separate issue. But you have tried different methods to educate people. None of that has worked to your satisfaction, so you've come up with this initiative. Explain to our listeners what the initiative says and what it is you hope it will do.
Well, basically, that was the humongous heap of plastic that you were talking about.
And
we took pictures. In fact, June is in the pictures that we try to advertise. And yes, just before we leave the recycling issue, I want to make it clear that that is not an answer to the proliferation of microplastics at all, because less than 4% of plastics are recycled in the United States. But the initiative itself, you can find it online by MontanaPlasticFree.com. The initiative is at length on our clipboards that
right.
we are using, because legally we have to have the complete verbiage of the initiative. The initiative, or the brief section that will be on the ballot, we're hoping, if we get the number of signatures, reads like this. The Bozeman Plastic Initiative will establish new provisions in the Bozeman Municipal Code to prohibit, after May 1st, 2025, the sale or distribution of polystyrene foam or the use of single-use plastic bags, with exceptions, and plastic straws or stirrers. This initiative will also require the City of Bozeman to provide notice to affected establishments and provide authority for the city to promulgate rules and regulations to implement this initiative. This initiative will also establish enforcement and penalties of $1,000 for the first violation and $2,000 for the second and subsequent violations.
I think we could mention, too, that there are like 500 citywide ordinances banning plastic bags in the U.S., and actually, at this time, 12 statewide bans in the U.S. So it's been done before, and we have a lot of visitors to Bozeman, and so many of them say to me, well, where I come from, we can't use plastic bags. What's the problem here?
I do want to interject that the fact that this initiative is different than the other states have enacted, because there's unintended consequences of sometimes banning something, then especially with the force of the plastic industry, which is fueled by the fossil fuels, no pun intended. What happens is they decide to create a reusable bag, and that reusable bag is thicker plastic and even more harmful to the environment. So the difference in the initiative we have right now is that we have wording in there that a reusable bag cannot contain any plastic. And when we're talking about reusable bag, we mean a handled bag or bag with handles that is going to be distributed at the cashier's counter when you leave an establishment. They are going to be prohibitive from giving us a bag or selling us at that point for like a 10 cents or something, an additional bag that has plastic in it. So that's what stands out in our initiative here in Bozeman, Montana, that is different than the other states that have enacted
an initiative. We're trying to learn from some of the mistakes that have been done in the other states, which I think is very thoughtfully done, too, here. There are some wonderful aspects of it. We have 7,000 signatures to amass.
7,128, to be exact. And we're trying to get at least 8,000 so that, because we have had some problems with people that are signing our initiative because they believe they live within the Bozeman city limits, but they don't. They have to look at the actual boundary of the city limits. And there are a lot of places that are considered donuts, meaning that they're in the county, but they may be a block away from someone who is within the city limits. So that's why we have to get more signatures than required.
The penalties for violations are directed primarily at merchants?
Yes.
After your groceries have gone through the cashier, it's those kind of bags you're talking about. What about produce bags?
Produce bags are the exception. Most produce bags do not have handles, so therefore that's not under this particular initiative prohibition. So those are not covered by this particular initiative, just the bags being given out when your groceries go through the conveyor belt and are bagged. We need to be given a bag that is organic, and that can be a cloth bag, a paper bag, or simply a cardboard box. Now, if we bring our own bags, they can contain plastic because they're not being given to us by the business establishment. So we are promoting the fact that people remember to bring their reusable bags in, and then their groceries can be packed in those bags many, many times, and even saving the stores from buying the paper bags, which are quite expensive. They're 14 cents a bag as opposed to about 2 cents for a single-use plastic bag. What I've talked to some business owners, they were taken aback by the fact that they would then not have a really inexpensive bag to provide for their customers. So that's why I reminded them that they would actually save money if they encouraged their customers to use reusable bags, then they would not have to provide them with that 14 cents a bag paper bag. They would then simply save money because they wouldn't have to order those as well.
Some of the grocery stores in Bozeman actually give you a discount. Well, it's 5 cents, basically, if you bring your own bag. Europeans, when they come to this country, they're flabbergasted that we don't, many of us. But what I'm getting to is, since they promote by giving you a credit, 5 cents or whatever it is, it's just as likely that they could charge you 14 cents per bag that they have to give you. Many people, even our age, we're elders, have fuzzy memories before plastic became so ubiquitous. I keep using the word ubiquitous, which means everywhere, because that's what this is. And they can't imagine how we can live without it. Would you share some of your memories pre-plastic ubiquity, just to give an idea of how one lived before plastic?
Well, we used a lot of paper.
Yes, I say so.
Yes, and I do remember thinking back in the, I think it was the 80s, we were going to save the trees, and we were going to then use a plastic bag. Now, remember, that's a tactic from the people producing those plastic bags. It's a chemical waste from the byproduct of making other fuels. So it was a cheaper alternative and a moneymaker for the fossil fuel industry in telling us, oh, save the trees, don't use paper, use our plastic. And I remember thinking, oh, I don't want paper because I want to save the trees. Well, in actuality, after the years of doing that, we're realizing trees can be planted and trees grow again. So producing a product from trees was actually a closed loop of sort. It does cost money. And yes, it's carbon footprint to produce anything. But the plastic is something that once produced never goes away, whereas the paper composts into the soil and it helps enrich the soil and leaves very little or none if it's made just from paper waste. So no chemical waste is provided.
Right. We have to try to educate the public, too, on what happens that these bags don't disintegrate. They just throw them away, and like after using them for a few seconds, taking them home, and then they're tossed away. It's something like 100 billion single-use plastic bags per year are thrown in the garbage. And it's not just the landfill problem, but it's the oil and gas and the natural gas that has to be moved in order to make the plastics in these big firms that make production for us. And that a lot of CO2 is, of course, produced from this movement that's going on. And so many, many barrels of oil have to be used to make these bags. And what we're concerned about, and one of the things I think that makes us even more anxious to do something about the problem, is that we'll be using less gasoline in our cars with more e-cars coming about. And the plastic industry is dreaming of how they can then use their fuel because they don't want to give this up. It's a very big money-making thing. But it's really very parallel to what we did with tobacco. We finally realized tobacco was a health issue. We thought it was just pleasure. Now I don't know how many people realize the drasticness of this plastic in our lives, in our health. And so I think one of the jobs we have, besides getting signatures, is to let people know why we're so concerned about it. It seems so easy just to go back and forth with your plastic bags, but we have to be retrained, and we can be, and we will be.
Like you said, June, I contacted one business owner for a large grocery store in Bozeman, and I asked him to tell me how many plastic bags he bought for the year or distributed to his customers for 1 year, one store in Bozeman. And he said, I don't know that. I'm going to research it. And he came back to me and said, oh my, I was totally unaware, but they use 1.2 to 1.5 million bags a year. That's one grocery store in Bozeman. And that's one of many we have now. And that's a shocker. And it's not only just that the fact that they're not being used very often, or even if they are reused, the actual plastic that is contained in these containers, like plastic bags, but more so in plastic bottles, leaches their chemicals into whatever is placed inside them. So what is happening is people are obtaining the plastic as a gas, like you said, June. It off-gasses and gets into the produce that are in the plastic bags, the water or juice or whatever is contained in the bottle, plastic bottle. It only takes hours for that to happen, and they have done scientific research on that. So it's quite shocking. But you're right, June. We do need to get this public to understand the significance and what they are doing to their bodies with this plastic.
I'm concerned mostly about young children, particularly children in the womb and youngsters, and how they will be affected. The effects on them is much more severe than those, I think, on us, the elderly or grown-up people. And I think we need to get the medical concerns out there. And I think maybe some of these medical organizations, like the American Medical Association, nurses associations, they all need to know what's happening to the body because they are caring for pregnant women, young children, and so on. So actually, Megan Wolf is making an effort to contact some of these organizations to inform them. That's something that's going on right now.
The fact, as you said, with it's happening more to young children is because they have been in an environment that has a preponderance of plastic in it. So the effects to their bodies, because plastic has really been recent since the 1950s, 60s is when it really built up and built up. And it's going in a trajectory that's almost completely vertical. And that's why I think we're seeing a lot more issues with young children and young adults than ever before. Things like colon cancer occurring at early ages. We're seeing a lot more hormonal issues. We're seeing a lot more
we actually are seeing greater rates of Alzheimer's. Whether or not it's connected, we can make the connection.
Interesting.
It is so.
Right. And they are scientifically, as June was saying, doing a lot more research into how it's affecting our body so that those kinds of things will be more prominent in the news as they develop the studies that they're doing right now. But they are finding that it absolutely affects the endocrine system, and which controls our hormones.
There are chemicals of concern that are used to make plastics, and they eventually wind up as nanoplastics, which are really micro.
Studies have shown that microplastics are being found in the human placenta. They are studying that an infant's first bowel movement contains microplastics. So yes, Joy, that it is passing through the mother into the child. Children are being born with a concentration of microplastics the moment they excrete. So,
and there are chemicals of concern in these plastics.
Joining me on this chilly, rainy morning are June Billings-Safford and Terry Quattraro. They are members of a group called Montana Plastic Free, who are collecting signatures for a City of Bozeman ballot initiative. June, you wrote a pretty feisty letter to the editor in March of 2024. I wonder if you would read it.
It took time and depth for the word poisonous to be associated with the word radium. It is taking too much time for the word toxic to be associated with the word plastic. Plastic is a plague that most of the public and legislators in Montana know very little about. There are significant negative effects of plastic on the landscape and seascape. But more importantly, plastic is toxic when it comes to the human body. Over 2,300 chemicals in plastic are known to be chemicals of concern, which enter the body through food packaging or microplastics and can cause a variety of serious health issues, ranging from cell damage to cancer. Yet the legislature, absent of the necessary knowledge, saw fit to pass HB 407, effectively banning any cities or towns in Montana to make changes with regard to single-use plastics. Quite courageously, John Meyer of Cottonwood Environmental Law Center in Bozeman sued the state on the unconstitutionality of banning our prized constitutional idea, which is local power. He spoke to us at Hope Lutheran on April 12th on this subject, and his talk included our rights and our health. So, yes, and so I think, Terry, you can talk more about that, too.
Let me just add that that was a letter to the editor in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle that June Safford had published. They headlined it, "Legislature Went Too Far in Stripping Local Powers." I want you to address whether or not your initiative, assuming you get enough signatures, it's on the ballot, it's overwhelmingly passed by the citizens of Bozeman. What, if any, constitutional or legislative suits and challenges do you anticipate?
John Meyer has helped conquer the one constitutional nugget that allows municipalities to have a grassroots initiative or one that is derived from the people of that community. And so that part will enable us to get it on the ballot if it gets enough signatures. And if it passes, it is concerning that our legislatures have done in the past and gone back to what the people really have voted for or wanted and tried to change it. They are doing that with some other initiatives that were proposed to come to the ballot or to the initiative process. So it is a concern that the legislatures can find something within the wording of the initiative that they feel is not according to what they want to see in the state or in the local communities. And they could do something about that. And it could go to further legal battles, much like the Held versus Montana battle, with the young people wanting a clean and healthful environment. This fits into that because as June and we've been talking about, of the consequences of the toxicity in plastics and the long-term effects on our bodies. So we have hope that if the legislature decides to sue, we might countersue. And sometimes that's the only way that we can prevail in an issue that comes from the people.
Another way to prevail is to vote. We're very close to that time period when we'll be voting in November. And so I think that people should be concerned about who it is that's going to represent them, their health issues, and their constitutional rights, which seems to me to be positively inherent in our Constitution.
A note to our listeners, the Supreme Court is hearing the appeal by the state of Montana, and Judge Seeley's articulate and meticulous 103-page ruling excoriating their lack of an adequate defense. Anyway, that's going to be on July 10th. KGVM, as we did daily digests of the held case, will be streaming the oral arguments in front of the Supreme Court live with commentary immediately following it. It'll be very interesting to hear what they have to say. It seems to me that whatever the Supreme Court rules will be applicable to your initiative. And in praise of the 1972 Constitutional Convention, bipartisan, cooperative citizens coming together to solve real issues and promote democracy within the state, and their vision and enlightened understanding of our environment made certain that it was explicit in several places, not just one in the Constitution, that Montanans do have a right to a clean and healthful environment and a responsibility, not just a right, but a responsibility to promote that.
And that is unique to Montana. And I believe that the people then, I'm just conjecturing, when they came to Montana, realized what a beautiful and clean and healthy environment it was in the 70s or 60s. And now we aren't paying that much attention. I think our concern publicly, I'm speaking for the mass of public people, is convenience and lack of having any effort to do something, which is convenience, as opposed to make things better for the next generation. The foresight in the 70s, that's when Earth Day started, was that we have a precious thing here in terms of our environment, and not only in Montana, but what we're focusing on now is convenience and profit, and that is not focusing on keeping our environment healthy. I think the two can merge. I think the two can be very successful. But we have to change our way of thinking. We have to go to providing a little bit more effort or looking into other research in the future that will provide for us a bag, say, if we're talking about single-use plastic bags, that isn't plastic, but yet can be reusable or can be disposed without containing so many harmful chemicals. So the onus is on those businesses, if they want to turn a profit, to sway away from those profit-making industries that harm our planet, to making a profitable business out of something that will be renewable for our planet.
What sort of opposition have you noted so far, if any, to your initiative? For example, with the business people that you've approached, what kind of responses are you getting?
One thing I'd like to mention, or one place, would be Town and Country. Town and Country has been in the forefront of this, and they're the ones who let you take that 5 cents and you can donate it to a cause in the community. And so they have been especially wonderful. There are so many stores in Bozeman now who are following this. Definitely the Country Bookshelf, always the liquor store.
That's a positive way of changing people's habits.
What kind of pushback or what kind of response are you getting?
People turn away from signing, and we're not sure why. It might be that these people believe with the state of Montana, what they decide is what we should be doing inherently, and so they don't want to cross that path. And I had somebody say to me, what do you expect us to carry, glass? So
the opposition I have had, which has been pretty minimal, is what am I going to put in my garbage can to line the garbage can? Mm-hmm. And I think about that and I think, why are we enshrining every article of trash, which is mostly plastic anyway, in more plastic? Even the things that you buy at the store made of plastic are wrapped in plastic. So my answer to that is that there are alternatives to what you put in your garbage. And if anything is going to leak, and the city is turning to this, they're separating out food waste. And food waste can leak. It can be full of moisture or water or some other liquid, and that can be put in the compost. You can get very easily compost trash bags that are compostable, and the companies locally accept those when you are putting your food waste in a bag. And they resemble a plastic bag, but they are made of a material that will compost safely without exuding all kinds of toxic plastic. The other thing always mentioned to me is, well, what about my cat litter or my dog waste? Whoa, my gosh, what am I going to do there? And I simply said, there are ways you can buy cat litter that come in a paper bag. And yes, it's several layers of paper. Why couldn't that waste be put back into that same bag when you put it into the trash? Mm-hmm. Dogs are different. But there are many other bags available, including compost dog waste bags, that are a choice. Or bread bags, or bags that we are not using, a single-use bag to, yes, okay, you have a double use for it, but plastic can only be recycled when it is recycled one other time. And it also means there's more chemicals that are having to be used in the recycling process.
I heard of a discussion that occurred among people. They had read about the initiative, and somebody remarked in a tone of outrage, as I heard it, well, what about my freedom? How do you respond to that sort of reaction?
What about their health? What would they weigh more, their freedom or their health, in terms of choosing between something that will allow them to have a better, more healthy life, or it's something that, because they feel a bit stubborn about being able to choose whatever they want to do, no matter the consequence to themselves in an unhealthy way or to others.
Yeah. The word responsibility needs to be in there. Freedom doesn't come void of responsibility and consequences. So I think she just needs to think a little bit further along that line.
Also, freedom out of context can be a dangerous thing. I think she was referring to freedom to as opposed to freedom from. And freedom from all the health effects you were saying, the cost to the environment, the cost to future generations. Perhaps she's not thinking of that. And also, so many of our problems now arise from this mistaken concept of disposability that was promoted. First, we had our depression generation where everything was used. Nothing was thrown away until it was just completely falling apart. And then there was, in the 1960s, this another idea. It was promoted as freedom, and that's disposability, like plastic forks and spoons and plastic plates on picnics or even in the home. No muss, no fuss. You don't have to wash dishes. Just throw it away. But there is no disposing. It's got to go somewhere.
Besides the disposal problem, that this research says, plastics in landfill produce methane. And methane is 80% more damaging than CO2. And the land that we use, that's so covered with plastics, they're wondering at the landfills. You have worked, Terry, with the landfill people, and you know they're concerned about the space, how much space is taken up by these huge boxes that are plastic, which we're not touching upon right now. But this is one step, right?
A quarter of what the trash that the Gallatin Valley produces that ends up in the Gallatin or the Logan landfill is plastic. A quarter of it is plastic, 25%. I think it's actually 26%. I was on the board of the Logan landfill, solid waste, and the statistics about how much plastic, okay, it's 26%. That's kind of like out there in the cloud, so to speak. But when I also looked at the statistics, an average of 40 to 45,000 pounds of plastic is distributed every month in the Logan landfill. So yes, we have a lot of waste if that's only a quarter. I went out and got from the barrel of where you're supposed to put your clean plastic bags to recycle and obtained plastic bags to weigh them. It took 74 plastic bags to make 1 pound. Not all the plastic that's the 40,000 pounds is single-use plastic, and some of it weighs significantly more than a plastic bag. But if you envision that, that's where that 1.2 to 1.5 million grocery bags being distributed at one store in 1 year in a small town like Bozeman comes from. It's a lot of waste.
Where are you now in the initiative process?
We are pounding the pavement to seek out people to sign this initiative. I believe we're around 2,000 signatures, give or take a few hundred, and we need 8,000, and we have less than 4 weeks to do it in. So we are seeking people to go out and gather signatures. Right now, I have a list of about 45 people that have been consistently going out to collect signatures. We need approximately 250 signatures a day to make our goal of 8,000 from now until July 15th, which is our deadline to submitting those.
And a lot of these signatures, people really don't have to go out and stand outside of grocery stores, but they can do this just within their environment, their own friends, their circles. They can help in that way. We are interested in getting a budget going, getting some money too from the public, because we would like to hire young people to carry this as well. And so we are interested in having businesses or people who are so inclined to send money, donate money to MontanaPlasticFree.com.
If listeners are inspired by this conversation and they want to participate, how would they go about doing that?
As June said, they would go to our website, which is MontanaPlasticsFree.com, and there are a variety of ways that they can help. We also have little flyers we carry with us, the signature gatherers, to have other suggestions. Giving money is one way. Collecting signatures is another. Just talking about it to your neighbors and friends and urging them, if they live within the city limits, to sign our petition. Unfortunately, if they live outside of the city limits, they can't sign, but they can still be helpful, either donating money or just by word of mouth and helping to educate the public and encourage them to look favorably on getting this initiative on the ballot.
If a person lives outside the city limits, are they allowed to gather signatures?
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
They can gather but not sign.
Right, correct. And actually, there's no age limit either on a person that can gather signatures. And that's why we're looking at high school and college students. Well, college students would be of age and voters, perhaps, but even high school students. And there is that wonderful Sunrise Movement that came out of both Bozeman High School and Gallatin High School. Mm-hmm. And they're very enthusiastic about making their environment healthy.
Well, they have the most at stake.
They do.
Yes.
They do. And they are very organized. They're very vocal about trying to make their experiences throughout their school age years and beyond to promote sustainable ideas.
Now, how much is this going to cost the taxpayers?
There is no monetary value on this initiative. There can't be, because one of the regulations or restrictions on a citizen-led ballot initiative is that it cannot have any revenue attached to it. And that's why we cannot use it to say customers will be charged 10 cents or 25 cents for a plastic bag, because a citizen-led initiative cannot have a monetary consequence.
So the city of Bozeman, they're going to have to enforce this, right? They're going to levy the penalties.
That's a good question, Joy, because yes, there will be some expenses from the city of Bozeman, because their responsibility for this initiative is to help educate the public, help warn the public that they will be fined. That would be the businesses, if they distribute these plastic bags. But they're also going to put out signage to remind customers to bring their reusable bags. And that is written into the initiative. And so there will be some money involved in that. In my estimation, of course, everything is more expensive than I think it is. It shouldn't be that much of a burden on the city to promote those things that they are required to do.
And what agency would this fall under in the city?
Sustainability?
There are many boards right now that are working towards helping the city reach out to the community. And you're right, I think the Sustainability Board would be tasked with perhaps what the wordage is on this educational. And they have websites, too. The city should have a website out that helps educate people in regards to their new compost program, which is coming up, which really aligns itself with the reduction in use of plastics, single-use plastic bags. Already the city asks that their leaf pickup be put in bags because they want everything in that truck to be compostable. So if people are putting their leaves and other yard waste in plastic bags, they have to be torn open or thrown away after they're dumped. So that's why they're asking people to put them in a compostable type. Owen House Ace does sell those wonderful paper collection bags. So there's already a movement towards that with the city. The city got a huge grant in order to enact this compost. And so using those kinds of funds, and that's another thing, those right now, there are a lot of grants that are available to municipalities from the federal government to encourage them to use more sustainable methods. So those are other ways that it could be funded from the city.
There is a penalty of $1,000 for the first offense and $2,000 directed at businesses that are caught selling or distributing the handled plastic bags. Which agency?
The code enforcement agency, which is already doing fines for people who park in the wrong place and some other egregious things that happen. And if their trees aren't properly taken care of in the boulevards.
Or they don't shovel their sidewalks in the snow.
Yes. Yeah. It's basically code enforcement. This is going to become a code, a municipal part of our Bozeman Municipal Code. Then the code enforcement officer would be charged with the fining and obtaining of the fine.
The interesting thing, too, is that the businesses wouldn't be fined immediately. They have to first rid themselves of their plastic bags in some way, maybe
what they have in inventory
until they no longer have them. So there is a grace period for the businesses.
Basically, the intended consequence of this particular ordinance, if it comes into effect, is on the producers and the manufacturers of the plastic bags. And that is the target of what we are trying to affect. Because as in that film, Plastics, I forget the name of the film, an example was made of a bathtub with the faucet on full blast with water coming out of the faucet into the bathtub. And that represents the amount of plastic being produced. There are literally thousands of manufacturing companies in the United States producing plastic bags as we speak. More are being built to do that very thing. That's the faucet on full blast, producing plastic, in this case, water, in the bathtub, and it is overflowing. And the efforts being made currently for recycling is like taking a teaspoon and scooping out water, a teaspoon at a time, in this overflowing bathtub. So we need other ways that we can turn the tap off, or at least make it a trickle, so that it isn't going to be amassing such a horrendous flood, which it is occurring right now.
Formosa Plastics is trying to build a mega-polluting petrochemical plant in Louisiana that would, of course, would harm a black community, lives very close by, and degrade wetlands and deepen the crisis. So people can respond to negative aspects of it by sending a petition to maybe the state or the Formosa Plastics to get them to not consider building this plant.
The only way it's really going to stop is if we as consumers stop encouraging them by enabling. We are enabling plastic manufacturers to keep producing plastics by coming up with recycling that really doesn't help the situation, building of these plants, because it's like a David and Goliath. It's much like June said with the tobacco industry. It was the same situation.
Well, Terry, who we just heard most recently, and June, we've reached the end of our time. I want to give you an opportunity for final words to our listeners. Terry, how about if you begin?
We need to pay attention more to the health of our future generations. We need to think of our children and our grandchildren when we are using things that are convenient and throwaway and wasteful. So we need to turn our whole way of thinking into making more of an effort to maybe go a little further distance in using reusable bags, in looking at what we're purchasing in the stores so that we can cut down on the waste that we have, and helping to encourage others. And also, people that are manufacturing need to look at more sustainable ways of manufacturing goods that will help also make us have more convenience, but in a way that's sustainable.
Thank you, Terry Quattraro. And June Safford.
I agree with Terry. Of course, everything she said was true. And not only thinking about what's happening, but actually acting upon it and finding ways to make this something that will be history instead of our future. I think we're really concerned about the planet. We're worried about people on the planet, the creatures on the planet, our water. All these issues are basically, almost all of them contain a plastic aspect to it. So I think that it's kind of a nightmarish, apocalyptic. We have to find ways that we can think about it in more positive ways that would help us move forward and not be stifled with ennui from this.
You have just heard a conversation with June Safford and Terry Quattraro, organizers with Montana Plastic Free Bozeman, who are working to collect 8,000 signatures from residents of the city of Bozeman by the deadline of July 15th. If a majority of voters vote for this initiative in the November election, it will become law here in Bozeman that the distribution of polystyrene foam foodware and packing materials and single-use plastic carry-out bags at retail sales establishments will be prohibited, and the distribution of single-use plastic straws and single-use plastic stirrers at food vendors will also be limited, with some exceptions. You can find out more by going to their website, mtplasticfree.com. That's mtplasticfree.com. An ecotone is a transition zone between two biomes. It's where communities meet and integrate. This program, Ecotones, explores the variety and diversity of the greater Gallatin Valley community and beyond, offering the echoing tones as our communities influence and are influenced by each other, bridging limits and boundaries and celebrating diversity. Echo Tones is a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire for broadcast and archiving on your listener-supported community radio station, 95.9 FM, KGVM Bozeman, or streaming on the web at kgvm.org. KGVM is a volunteer-staffed community station, and we depend on you, our listeners, to contribute financially to keep these programs of, by, and for our community on the air. And you can do your part by going to kgvm.org and click on the Gold Support KGVM button at the top of the page. We thank you for listening and for your support.